back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton and Scott Eckersley. Ebling and you. The Jack and Tom Show. I look across. I don't see Tom Crawford. The Jack and Tom Show minus Tom Crawford. 1320 WILS. Dave Benton sitting in for Tom this morning. Want to bring in our next guest, the voice of Michigan State basketball, and the guy, along with his wife, Wendy, really do a tremendous job with the Spartan Sports Network, and that is Will Thiemann. Hello, Will. How are you?
Jack, I'm doing pretty good. It's kind of strange not to have a football game today.
It certainly is. Nice break for you?
It's a great break for the brain, especially when you play a late basketball game. And, you know, the one thing it does, Jack, for me anyway, it's been a chance this week for football anyway to almost reflect on what's happened to us. I mean, when you think about it,
yeah,
it's 9-1, and I know we were all a little taken back by the flatness of the Iowa game, but... You know, it's interesting. We had talked internally when we were preparing for our spring broadcast that we could feel something different about the football team. There was an attitude change. There was something special going on. And you felt it too with teams, but you never know how that equates to wins or losses. But you know it's something good. And I got a hunch that these guys came with purpose, and so far so good.
Yeah, and, you know, I think sometimes there is a loss, and it's deflating, and some people say, well, they're not that good a team. I point back to the last time Michigan State went to the Rose Bowl and the last time it won 10 games, 1987 and 1999. And in both cases, it had a couple of blowout losses. In 87, it lost to Notre Dame and Florida State by a combined score of 62-11, and then went on and didn't lose again. And in 99, had that 6-0 start, and then went to Purdue and ran into Drew Brees and Chris Daniels, and the guy catches 21 passes in one game. And then the next week, they make Ron Dayne a Heisman Trophy winner. And Michigan State gives up 92 points in those two games. And that season, all they did was finish with wins over Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Florida.
Well, and I think what makes this loss this year sort of deflating is the fact that from a national perspective, I think people, much like Iowa last year, I think people were waiting for Michigan State to lose. They just kept saying week after week, this team can't be that good, and they were waiting for that. See, told you they weren't that good.
Right.
And I think that makes a loss like that even more deflating.
Right. Well, in a case like that, is a loss a loss, or does it matter what kind of loss it is?
Wow, that, Jack, you know, that's a really good question. Sometimes I've often thought it's better to lose by 100 than it is to lose in a last-second field goal.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to second-guess the blowout. You know, in this case, I think a competitive game would have made everybody feel better.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, the great thing about this particular football team is, at least my sense of it, is while everybody who cares about the team in Michigan State football was a little deflated when they woke up Sunday morning, I think everybody moved on because it was time to move on for the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't think it makes that big a difference in this case, but I'll point out one thing that it's kind of important to note here. And I know when you lose, you make excuses, right? Because that's what losers do. But I don't mean this to be an excuse for a tough day at Iowa, because I want to give Iowa some credit because they played great. But when you think about it, we went through a stretch where we had three or four games on the road, and we had back-to-back road games with teams that either were in the top 25 or had been there, and they had both lost at home in tough games the week before we got there.
Yeah.
Or the game before we got there, in the case of Northwestern and Iowa. So, I mean, our timing wasn't real good to get to Iowa City, but sometimes you hit the perfect storm. And the other thing is, I try to put my fandom away and I look at the historic, you know, history of things, and realistically, nobody's going to go through the Big Ten undefeated in conference play. I mean, history tells us that, even Ohio State.
Oh, we had a national championship a couple of years ago, a national champ that had two losses.
Yeah, so if we beat Purdue at home, I mean, that'll be the first perfect season at home since 99. That's kind of neat. And then finally go to Penn State. Well, how cool would it be to get that monkey off everybody's back? And now you're 11-1?
Right.
Champion?
Never been 11 in anything before.
No, so I'm having a hard time finding a problem with that.
Yeah.
take away the wins and losses of everybody this year, when you look at just talent and how good a team is, where would you rank Michigan State among the nation's best?
You know, Dave, I don't know, because I've got to admit I haven't studied a lot of some of these other guys. I mean, I haven't looked hard at Auburn. I know they're getting a lot of talk, despite the Cam Newton scenario. But I think, you know, I got to look at the body work of the Big Ten, where I think the Big Ten stacks up. And I think they're a top 10 team. I really do. Now, where within the top 10, I don't know. But I think they're clearly a top 10 team. And it's not because Kirk Cousins is a Heisman candidate for quarterback, or there's the greatest defensive cornerback in the world, or the offensive line is fabulous. I think as you look at all the units, they're pretty good. The offense is pretty good. Defense, pretty good. Special teams with Martin, really good at times.
Yeah.
A kicker comes out of Neverland for only one miss this year. So yeah. I think when you put it all together, I think they're pretty good. I really do, and they're playing at a high level of competition.
Yeah, yeah. Our guest, Will Thiemann, play-by-play voice of MSU basketball. We'll talk about that in a moment. And also, the guy who operates the Spartan Sports Network, and that is the number one college sports network in the state. That might be a surprise to some people, but not if you really think about it. Michigan State has done an unbelievable job of establishing affiliates and relations around the state, and you can hear Michigan State football and basketball broadcasts wherever you go. Well, when people ask me about this football season and how it's happened, they're a little bit stunned. And I say, well, the first thing is Michigan State's learned to get out of its own way. And that wasn't always the case. Michigan State was its worst enemy in some other years. But I also point to the infrastructure that Mark D'Antonio and his staff have built, and that's something you don't see initially. It just kind of happens. And I remember talking to Tom Mack, the legendary coach at Detroit Catholic Central. And I said, you know, why are you here? You're getting the Duffy Doherty Memorial Award. I didn't think I'd ever seen you on campus before. And he said, well, I hadn't seen too many Michigan State coaches at Catholic Central. But now they got D'Antonio and his guys over here and, you know, kind of can't get rid of them. So he had built relations with these coaches. He had attracted players that developed and got better over time. And if you look at what this program is now, the depth, I think you have to go back to the Duffy era when they had unlimited players to find a team that had depth at so many positions, Will.
Yeah, I agree, Jack. And, you know, the one thing, and I think this is critical, and I think Spartan fans with some longevity will really understand what I'm about to say. For a long time, we had people to coach football at Michigan State. Now we finally have Mark D'Antonio, who's Michigan State's coach. And that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. This isn't somebody passing through. This is the coach at Michigan State. This is his program. This is the school he loves. And he can sell it because he loves it. And he's big in the community. So, I mean, when you think about the really good programs, you can go to, you know, Bo Schembechler was Michigan coach. Bear Bryant was Alabama's coach. I mean, we finally have an individual that isn't passing through for the next stop. This is the stop. And I didn't realize this. You may have known this, but when he left to go to Ohio State to be the D coordinator then Cincinnati, every summer he would come back to East Lansing with his family to visit friends because he has friends here and he loves the community, and I didn't know that. So here's a guy who now comes back to be the head football coach, and he can sell it because he believes it, and if you believe it, you can sell it. And what's there not to sell here? There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good. A lot of good.
Let's move over to basketball and another coach who is pretty well known in this community. do you think Tom Izzo's happy about last night's game, start of the season?
Yeah, I do. I mean, was it a perfect game? No. I mean, did it have some ragged moments? Yes. But I do believe that Eastern Michigan is not a bad basketball team, even though they had no hope of matching MSU down low, but I when we got done with the broadcast here, we're wondering if coach is happy with a 30-point opening season win against a team that's supposed to be respectable. And when he talked to Gus Kanakis in the post game, I mean, he admitted that the pluses outweighed the minuses, and he sounded in a good mood. But the thing that we ended the broadcast with last night isn't the fact that this team is really good. The real story here in the real journey that's coming down the pike is, how good's it going to be?
Yeah.
And so last night what we saw was that first step. I mean, I don't know, Jack. How good are these guys going to be? We don't know, but that's going to be the fun of this.
They're going to be the best team Tom Izzo's ever had. Now, are they going to win a national championship? It takes a lot of breaks. A lot of things have to happen. And Michigan State got some of those in 2000. But from top to bottom with this lineup, with the pieces, with the potential, and Tom will kind of talk about this if you catch him at the right moment. There are more pieces to play with for a coach than I can ever recall on this team. I look at last night's game and the effort to find something negative. Draymond Green had 12 points, 8 rebounds, shot 4 for 6 from the field, 7 assists, only one turnover, 3 block shots, and he was the guy who took most of the criticism. Maybe he deserved it a couple times on defense where he got beat, but if that's a bad game, I'd like to see his good one.
Yeah, I know. And Jack, look at all the spots he can play. If you're an opposing coach, how do you match all this up? I mean, even when you have a youngster like Payne who will shoot a three and make some of them,
yeah,
who can also take you down low and eat you up. I mean, when you're preparing to play Michigan State, it's just got to be a nightmare because a lot of times in collegiate basketball, obviously, there isn't 5 great players always out there. So you can double up on a star or you can figure out a way to cheat down low if you have a bad matchup or whatever. But with this ball club, man, there's nowhere to cheat. There's nowhere to double up on somebody because as soon as you do that, you're going to get burned.
Yeah. One more question for you, Will, and we got a couple guys in here who are going to have long careers in broadcasting, Dave Benton and Scott Eckersley. And I get this all the time. I don't have the slightest idea because I'm here by accident. But in terms of all the people who want to have careers in sports broadcasting, what should they do? How should they develop to the point where they're doing play-by-play or they have the kind of opportunities that you've had for your career?
You know, Jack, it's easy. You know, I think a lot about that, but because I get asked that. But I look back, I take a look at the path that I've taken. I'll throw in George Blaha, and there's numerous people, and there's a common thread. There's a love for broadcasting. Obviously, there's a love for sports. But at the end of the day, you got to get in the game. So, if there's one thing I hear young people aspiring to do this for a living, they go, I want to be this guy. I want to be the voice of the Lions or whatever. Well, the truth is, first off, you got to become a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go down the line of the people that have aspired to be really good and they've had great careers, they've been news guys.
Yep, yep.
They'll throw back an old term, disc jockeys.
Yep.
I mean, one day I was in charge of one of my stops. I had to read the farm reports, and I didn't even know what a cow looked like. And I had a guy from Landmark, our sponsor, say, you don't understand any of this, do you? And he explained grain markets to me. And so as you go through it, once you become a broadcaster, then you can work on your art of being a sportscaster because you got to have that foundation. And you got to have somebody that champions your cause, somebody that sees something and believes in you and gives you a chance when you're just got awful.
Well,
you're trying to get better.
I mean, I totally agree with you. When I first started out, I was doing news. I didn't even know what a millage was. And I'm sitting here reading all these words, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. But okay, great. And you know, something that I've learned, because I've been through internships and actual jobs, I've been doing broadcasting for about 4 years now. And something I've learned is the key thing you have to do is you have to say yes. When somebody asks you if you're willing to do something, you've got to say yes. Because first of all, you get that experience. And second of all, although it may stink at the time, it's showing that you're willing to do things and it can get you in places. When I first started working here, the first thing I did here was I worked on Mike FM, which is one of our sister stations, as a 6 a.m. Saturday morning DJ. And they started asking me, you know, our overnight person during the week isn't going to be here. Can you do overnights? Absolutely. Did that stink doing overnights for a couple of weeks? Yeah, it was awful. It was the worst thing I've ever done. But you have to say yes to things to show people that you're a team player.
What's the strangest job you've ever had in broadcasting, Will?
Wow. The strangest job? The most unique job, and that might make it a little strange. Believe it or not, several years ago now, Grambling State University had a national radio network, and that was when Eddie Robinson was a football coach. And I got a call to be the voice of the Grambling Tigers. Now, when I first got that call, I thought it was a joke. I really did. And then when I realized that this guy was serious and I got done being embarrassed, they flew me down. I visited with the athletic department, Coach Rob and the AD and all the people. And that 2 years was one of the greatest 2 years I've ever had, because Eddie Robinson was, I knew about him, and what I knew and heard was great, but he far exceeded any of that. And it was an interesting exposure to another side of life, just not football, but the other side of things. And it was amazing, but we were reliving that a little bit. There's zillions of stories that are pretty entertaining. One of them, when we had the first meeting, I remember, I'm in a room and I'm the only white guy. I mean, you got to talk about that, right? Because
yeah.
Grambling is the Notre Dame of black college football. It has all this wonderful history.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally I said, I'm honored that you flew me down here to talk to me, but is this going to work? I mean, we haven't mentioned this, but is it going to work to have a guy like me be your voice? And Eddie Robinson looked at me and he said, "Would you have trouble being white?" it was amazing. But it was a heck of an experience. And that was probably the most unique thing I've ever done. And boy, it was unbelievable. But back to your one question about, you know, getting into the biz. The other thing is you got to love it. I mean, I love what I do. There's not a day I get up and I'm sad that I'm doing it. I just, it's a passion, and I've been fortunate that I can make a living for my family on something that I care so much about. But,
yeah.
You know, you talk about, you know, Dave, working the overnights. We've all done that kind of thing. But if you don't have the great love for it, then it isn't going to work.
Yeah, I agree.
You just got to want it. And it's a great profession. It's not easy, but it's a good one.
Will Thiemann, our guest, and he is, of course, the play-by-play voice of Spartan basketball. Not a bad run. 6 Final Fours in the past 12 years, and also the driving force behind the Spartan Sports Network. He'll tell you his wife, Wendy, is the real brains of the operation. He's probably right about that. Will, we will see you very soon. Enjoy your weekend off.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right. We'll be right back with more. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton and Scott Eckersley. Tom Crawford will rejoin us a little bit later in the show. We hope that we'll be talking with Jim Jackson as well and Tom Crawford. And we're going to talk with Dr. John Braccio as well, just coming up. Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.